Chapter 39 Cold Light. Battle Barge Charybdis, four decks. An icon flashed insistently on Zetos's retinal display, a silent plea for help. It came from the bridge. Every attempt to raise Odysseon or any officer at that location had so far been met with static. "Still down," said Zetos. Vox across the entire ship was the same, as if the ruined storm had reached inside the Charybdis to exert its blinding, deafening influence.
"Something is wrong,"
said Dakar, speaking through a fanged mouth grill.
"Odysseon would have answered. Someone would have reached out by now."
They had paused, the five salamanders at the threshold between decks. Below lay the main barracks and armories. Above, the command deck, where the bridge, apothecarian, and other vital facilities were situated. Numeon nodded.
"Agreed." "So we head to the bridge," said Zetos, "with all haste."
Vorko wrapped gauntleted knuckles against his leg. The greave was missing. Gargo had not yet finished its reforging, but the wound from the Volkite was eminently visible.
"I'll only slow you down,"
admitted the Flamer legionary. Numeon clapped Vorko lightly on the shoulder guard.
"Hold here, brother, and if one of us doesn't return soon, gather whoever you can and prepare to defend this ship."
Vorko nodded solemnly, and Zetos could not deny a sense of satisfaction at seeing Numeon step up to embrace his destiny. The rest moved off quickly, with Numeon setting a fierce pace.
"You believe they are dead?"
Zetos wasn't asking.
"I believe they might be if we don't hurry."
The hard metallic impacts of booted feet resonated urgently through the deck. No one got in their way. The corridors were deserted, the majority of the ship having been placed on curfew until they were no longer besieged by the storm.
"That signal ident,"
Dakar began as he raced behind the two salamander's officers. Zetos already knew what the other legionary was thinking.
"Extreme warning, yes. I saw that too."
Numeon's expression darkened behind his fearsome drake mask. It was clear, even in the tone of his voice.
"Someone must still have been alive to raise it. Whether they still are depends on who or what has taken the bridge."
They would find out soon.
"An attack?" asked Abidemi. "We are the only ship riding this storm."
The deck lurched as if to remind them, throwing the salamanders hard against the wall, but they kept their feet.
"I don't think it's a ship," said Zetos, unhitching his hammer as they cleared the next junction and the doors to the bridge came into view. "But it's not only ships that sail the seas of the warp."
As they reached the bridge's outer threshold, nothing obvious presented itself. No evidence of breach or weapons discharge of any kind. No bodies either.
"Insurgents we missed?"
suggested Dakar, unclamping his bolt gun from the side of his generator. Numeon shook his head.
"Not Death Guard. This feels different."
He gripped the sigil, having already drawn Drokoros in the other hand. The fang-toothed blade shone hungrily in the dingy light.
"What then?" asked Zetos.
Numeon pressed his ear against the unyielding metal, listening through his helm's auto-senses.
"I hear nothing. No commotion of any kind."
"Are we too late?" asked Zetos.
"No,"
Numeon uttered in a rasp, edging away from the door again.
"Something's in there. I could hear it. Something that can infiltrate our ship unseen and silence it with barely a hand raised in opposition."
His eye lenses met Zetos's. The sergeant had taken up a position on the opposite side of the arch frame.
"Suppressing fire, then draw swords,"
he said to the others, remembering what Aeonid Thiel had told them about demons. Dakar and Abidemi nodded in unison. Mag clamping the sigil to his belt for a moment, Numeon tried the doors. They were immense,
easily large enough for several legionaries to pass through abreast, or for a dreadnought to walk under without needing to stoop. Several meters thick, it would take las cutters and blasting charges to bore through. During warp transit, especially in the storm, the doors should have been secured. Numeon found them unbarred. He gestured to Dakar and Abedemi, who took up ready positions outside the door. One favoured his bolter snagged in the crook of his shoulder, the other held it low and braced against his armoured hip. "Find your targets, single shots," Numeon told them. "Remember, there could be mortals in there who are our allies. By the same token, those mortals might not be who or what they seem." Not everyone in the scattered legion had seen or fought against the unnatural. At least they hadn't knowingly. Unburdened, never born, they had several names, and all anyone knew for sure was they were old, powerful, and dangerous. "Hold this door," Numeon told the two line troopers. "Nothing enters, nothing leaves, without our say-so. Once Zitos and I have cleared the bridge, follow up as rearguard. Understood?" The two nodded as Numeon turned back to his sergeant. "You and I are going in." Zitos confirmed his readiness, his fists clenched around the haft of his thunder hammer. Then the blast doors parted, admitting them to a scene of visceral carnage. The bridge had become an abattoir, barely recognizable behind a veil of gore. Bodies were strewn about, some face down, slain as they fled, others impaled by struts of rebar wrenched from the walls. The hot metal stink of freshly spilled arterial blood throbbed on the air, churning through the atmosphere recyclers until they slowed and clogged. Deep crimson, accented by the intermittent flash of stark overhead looms, painted every surface. Frozen expressions of horror, bent and broken limbs, were captured in the light. Corpses, suspended from the ceiling by their own intestines, swayed gently like dormant marionettes. They were dolls, mere playthings to whatever monster had torn and tortured them. It was waiting in the shadows, though neither salamander saw it at first. Zitos made the first error. "A survivor!" he called out grimly to Numeon, who had moved to the other side of the bridge. Both salamanders advanced slowly. With the atmosphere recyclers shut down, it was deathly quiet. The energy feed from Zitos's thunderhammer gave off an irritated hum as he crept towards the little girl. She was hiding under a console, just visible between the legs of a servitor who had been bifurcated across the waist. For the moment, it was impossible to find the torso amongst all the other body parts.
"Clear the room first," Numeon told him.
"It's a child, brother." Zitos had almost reached her when he saw the blood. It was the pattern of it that gave him pause. Her white dress was pristine. Her little feet left prints across the entire deck. In places, they didn't look like a little girl's feet anymore. Zitos couldn't see her face. Too much hair, too black, too lank, too long, hung over it. But her hands were so bloody, like she had dug them into the deep red places of these poor souls and just ripped. So he paused, the hand reaching out to cradle her into the light, clenching into a fist.
"Numeon!"
She shrank back, giggling in two voices blended together, but slightly out of sync. Zitos's blow crushed the remains of the servitor and sundered the console into a welter of sparks and twisted metal. He kicked aside what was left, but the girl was no longer there. She was hiding at the back of the room in the shadow of the blanked viewport. "You shouldn't be here," she uttered, sounding disturbingly like Arik Gulero, though the first officer of the Charybdis had been amongst the first corpses they had found.
"Leave this ship, you fiend!"
Numeon was moving around to outflank the girl even as Zetos came at her directly. Her head snapped around, still obscured by all that hair, though there was something writhing and serpentine about it now.
"Vulcan is dead,"
she spat, giggling, the deep and resonant voice her own at last.
"No one believes you. Vulcan is dead. You can't come back. No one comes back."
The salamanders got to her at the same time, but as she backed away from their raised weapons, she became one with the shadows. Zetas cast about, looking for her. Numeon sheathed his sword.
"She's gone. Don't waste your efforts, brother."
What was that thing? Like Zenutsul?
"Hecht said we would face worse in this storm."
Numeon regarded the charnel pit before them.
"This horror is worse."
He paused, his hand slipping back around the grip of Drokoros. There was a survivor. A tiny figure shuffled tight into an alcove. Spattered with blood, almost wrenched into a fetal position as she was, he barely recognized Lissa Essenzi, looking up at him from across the bridge with terrified eyes. Numeon released his grip on the sword and went over to her.
"Throne of Terror,"
breathed Zetos as he looked down at the disheveled officer. Numeon had sunk to his haunches and removed his helmet so as to be less intimidating. He laid Vulcan's sigil down in front of him so he could keep it in sight at all times. It still felt warm to the touch and gave off a faint aura of heat. It had started doing so since just before they had entered the bridge.
"Are you injured, Lieutenant?"
Numeon asked gently, but used her rank to remind her who she was and of her duty to the ship. Essenzi slowly shook her head.
"I don't," she began, struggling to form the words. "I don't think so."
She was covered in so much blood, it was hard to tell if any of it was hers. She held on to something, a small charm that she had hidden beneath her uniform. Delicately, though her hands were tiny in his, Numeon eased Essenzi's fingers open so he could see it. It was a simple gold aquila strung on a thin chain around Essenzi's neck. On the back, she had etched a symbol of a hammer, Vulcan's symbol.
"I prayed," she gasped,
relieved to confess, but also fearful of what the secular legionaries might do. Religiosity was a heretic sin, but the Emperor's enlightenment had seen its share of challenges to that belief. Numeon gave her a sad smile as he closed Essenzi's fingers back around the charm.
"Keep this close," he told her. "Show no one."
Zetos had seen everything, but said nothing. Like Numeon, he had witnessed things beyond the ken of mortal understanding, things that defied the bastions of reason and left few explanations beyond the arcane. Numeon rose to his feet and beckoned the others to come in.
"We need to keep her safe and find Odysseon," he told Zetos. "We can't do that here."
"Agreed."
"Then where?"
The vox crackled over the feed, the first time any contact had been made with it in a while. It was Zon.
"Something has been interfering with our communications, Brother Captain," said the Tech Marine. "I believe we have just met it down on one of the ghost decks."
"A little girl in a white dress?"
"Precisely."
"Any casualties?"
"We fired first, and forewent the interrogatives."
Numeon raised an eyebrow at the Tech Marine's apparent callousness.
"You opened fire on a child?"
"She wasn't breathing and had survived temperatures inimical to human function. I also noticed a tiny fissure in our warp shielding before Gargo and I made contact. It suggested something unhuman had made its way aboard our vessel. The Geller field is suffering in the storm. cracks are forming.
Is that how it breached our defense?
I think it was already inside, Brother Captain. Someone brought it here with them, though you will need to ask Ushaman or our Grey Legionary how that was possible. It is beyond my expertise to explain.
Understood. Secure the deck and get back up here. I am locking down this entire ship so we can hunt and kill this thing.
Zon gave an affirmative and cut the link. Zetos glanced at Essenzi before nodding to the others and finally looking at Numeon.
If Zon saw her down in the ghost decks and we just saw her here on the bridge...
There is more than one. A plague has come aboard this vessel, of what I have only a vague idea.
Should we drop out of the warp?
It was a valid suggestion, but not really tenable.
Too much risk to both Navigator and our librarian. I doubt the Charybdis would take it either. Then we have to fight.
Numeon smiled savagely.
We have been fighting all our lives, Zetos.
He looked to Dakar and Abidemi.
You two, link up with Vorko and get Lieutenant Essenzi below decks to Ushaman's librarium. I can't think of a safer place right now. And seal this damn bridge. It's no use to us at the moment anyway. What about Circe? Asked Zetos. Her Novatum is part of the bridge. She'll be trapped too. And the safer for it. Circe can't be interrupted. We all almost died last time she lost concentration. She stays.
There was no question as to whether she had survived or not. Her Novatum was warded against intrusion. If she had died, everyone aboard would know about it by now.
And us? You and I, Zetos, are going to find our errant shipmaster. We'll need him and the lieutenant here again once we leave the warp.
He said he was going to his quarters before...
Essenzi had found the strength to get to her feet, but still couldn't fully absorb the terror of what she had survived. Numeon gently laid his gauntleted hand on her shoulder.
Then that's where we begin. Thank you, lieutenant. You're under our protection now. My legionaries will not leave your side.
She nodded, trying not to look at the carnage of her crewmates, trying not to tremble too much and to show courage in the face of her noble lords.
Vulcan lives,
Numeon told her softly, and Essenzi touched the charm she had secreted back beneath her uniform.
May he protect you as he did me, my lord.
She reached out to touch a patch of ash scorched onto Numeon's armor. Then, with her finger, she daubed a sigil upon her cheek. It was an old ritual, Promethean in origin. Perhaps she had learned it from one of the legionaries aboard. Zathen was a warrior ascetic. It could have been him. Regardless, the sigil meant protection. Numeon let her go. Something was changing within the pyre, and that included the ship's crew. Belief, but in something older. He should have chastised her, upholding the secular over the superstitious, but demons were aboard his ship, actual demons that defied nature and encouraged the terrifying belief in old malicious gods. Numeon thought on it no further. It was time to go find Odysseon, if he still lived.
Odysseon fled.
He fled without knowing where he was going or what part of the ship he had blundered into. Blind panic had seized him, and the instinctive response was to run. Many times, especially since he had seen the refugee girl, Odysseon had imagined being reunited with his daughter. Clutching the tattered parchment pages of the Lectitio Divinitatis, he had prayed for it and rehearsed in his head what he might have said to his dear departed Maelissa. Those words fled now, just as he fled from the revenant that had taken his daughter's form.
Daddy, Daddy, Daddy.
The echoing voice that chased him chilled his marrow so deeply that Odysseus was almost unable to speak. Defiance and a desire for retribution against the thing that had so corrupted his memory of Maelissa gave him the courage he needed.
"Shut up! Be silent! You are not my daughter!"
he sobbed, the grief of years ago relived again.
"Maelissa is dead."
"I'm here, Daddy. Don't leave me. Chase, chase."
She giggled, the thing that wore a version of Maelissa's flesh, and as Odysseus rounded the next corner, trying to shut his senses to it, he saw her waiting at the next junction.
"Oh, throne!"
He staggered, slowing to a fumbling, drunken walk. The deck lurched, and Odysseus was thrown hard into the wall. The girl didn't move, but remained rooted, silently beckoning him. Odysseus's hand slid against an access panel in the wall. The door it opened led to the armsman barracks. He dared not think what this thing might do to him if it caught him. He needed help. Using his shipmaster's override, he disengaged the lock. The door slid open a fraction, revealing a sliver of a deep red room that stank of sweat and hot iron. It jammed, and when he looked up, Odysseus saw why. Ushaman stood over him, his stern face etched with concentration. His eyes had a cerulean glow as he focused his attention on the girl.
"Burn the witch!"
she giggled, advancing towards them both at speed.
"You and I are leaving, shipmaster," Ushaman told him.
He raised his hand, and the girl stalled as if caught in psychic aspic. Sweat already beading his forehead, Ushaman closed the barrack room door and left Odysseus with only a hint of the horror within.
"Where?" he asked, transfixed by the sight of the girl's limbs as they writhed against containment.
"Where is there that's safe aboard this ship?" Ushaman grimaced with sustained effort.
"I know a place. Follow me now."
Together they retreated down the corridor. Odysseus had only turned away briefly, but when he looked back, the girl had disappeared.
"She will return," said Ushaman.
"What does she want?"
"She hungers, shipmaster. She wants to feast."